This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Just desserts, it's not just the worth. Some of y'all heads up in the cloud. I'ma bring y'all back to earth. It's black back to burn. Y'all talking about out your mouth. I'm not concerned, cause y'all got to learn. It's y'all turned like Detroit Red when his head had an ultra perm. The long walk I burn your bare heels, so throw on your boots. The game camouflage like army suits, but I can see it more clear cause I came with the coupe in here. Ring the alarm, inform the troops, send them out into the world, go to war on the flu. Eye to eye with the enemy you sworn to shoot. Now I'm coming at your neck, sick of hearing something wrong with me, wrong with you. When the cheek just way too smart to question. The enemy, the brothers of a dark complexion. The governments of the world is shark infested. They heavy on weaponry like Sharpton Heston, man. Look, it gets low, man. No, now I'm talking about.
Talking Heads with Naughty is sponsored by BTC, Burger King, the Cancer Treatment Centers of America, Dunkin' Donuts, Fine Threads, John's Department Store, J.S. Johnson, Joker's Wild, KFC, Naughty Johnny's, Percy's Island Games, and Tropical Gyros.
The Thursday, December 8th edition of Talking Heads is on and popping. And, of course, right now, got a special edition today. Got a good conversation lined up with my good friends from Org. I've got Tate Adderley, the program manager, or the engagement program manager. Mr. Stephen Evans, the assistant director. They're joining me today. And, of course, I got a great program that they're rolling out about active citizens. All right? Yeah. For active citizens, period. It's all about active citizens. And if you want to become an active citizen in the Bahamas, I think active citizens is for you. And Org Citizens Engagement Campaign is seeking to bring like-minded individuals together with us in this regard. So let's welcome to the show. No strangers to the show. Tate Adderley, what's going on, Tate? All is well with you and yours?
Hey, Nani, can you hear me?
Yeah, man, I can hear you. You are good, man. And hopefully we got Steph on as well, correct?
Yes, he's here.
All right, so what's going on? Glad to have you guys on board. I'm excited to talk about this because obviously, you know, I advocate for citizens to get more involved in day-to-day things here in this country, including. And I think this is a good opportunity for folks to get involved. Let us know a little more about it.
Right. So a lot of people know about the Organization for Responsible Governance as a place that deals with government, right? And when we talk about responsible governance, a lot of times the finger is pointed in that particular direction. But when we talk about nation building, each Bahamian citizen has the responsibility of pointing the country in the direction that it will go. So Active Citizens Bahamas is our citizen engagement campaign that we want to empower Bahamian citizens to use their individual and collective actions to positively impact their communities and to push the country forward. And we are doing that through running a national outreach series that's simply going out into different communities, school groups, religious groups, civic groups, and talking to them about how their actions can affect change. In addition to that, we are running focus groups to help people come together, actively pool their ideas and concepts around what the challenges in their individual communities are and how they can work together as a community to.
So you set up the networking in that regard as well, too, then?
For answers and solutions. And finally, we are running an advocacy toolkit that we're hoping to inspire people that want to take action to get out there and teach them how to effect change and through advocacy initiatives that can impact policy and make a difference. Ultimately, we're hoping that we can bridge the gap of good governance and creating a pathway to a brighter future in the Bahamas by empowering citizens as we hold government accountable so that there's an ongoing collaboration on both ends.
That is so nicely put. I like to just say, you know, we're ushering in a new era of advocates. I like it. I like it. It's a good thing, man. Because I like people to advocate for their community on multiple levels. And I think this is just like you say, when you take politics off the first layer, there's still so many other ways to make an impact in your community outside of the political vein. You know what I mean? A lot of people get confused, oh, that's political. No, man, there's so many things you could do within that community. And I like the fact that you reached out to already established groups that are in the community to help bring the citizens together. Who are some of the groups that you reached out to so far?
So some of the groups that we reach out to are like primary schools. So one of our first groups that we would have spoken with during this campaign was the Esquire Club at RMBLA, I think it was.
Okay.
And this was a group of young men, I guess, who learned to become young gentlemen and to be, I guess, better citizens in the Bahamas. And basically, we spoke to them at RMBLA. We also traveled to places like Bimini, as well as Long Island, and Stephen went to Cat Island. And we basically spoke with some primary school students there. And eventually, what we hope to do is to reach out to more groups that are in the Family Islands. And we want to improve our outreach there, especially with the adult population, to see how, you know, they're experiencing island life and basically what can happen and how we can improve the overall condition of the Bahamas, that is.
And starting early too, I like the fact that you're starting in schools in some situations, in some instances, because you'll be surprised, kids are a lot sharper today than we were when we were their age, if you know what I mean.
Agreed.
So they grasp on a lot of things. Go ahead.
Sorry, I was saying they absolutely are. And that was, so we had a Freedom Schools outreach initiative that taught a little more in depth. We wanted to take a step back and just teach people about how the country works, where we're coming from, where we're going, and what their place is, and that very simply spoken. Because we define an active citizen as any Bahamian that is committed to playing their role in pushing the country forward. And believe it or not, those kids, while we of course have to tailor our messaging, they understand what it means to be in the public sector, the private sector, the nonprofit sector. They get it. And I think it's been really incredible to see the way that to the message.
Now, the fact that, like I said, you know, and you mentioned it, and you're starting in the schools there, so obviously do we see that if it takes off in the schools and you start at the primary level, if it accelerates and it grows, do you see it getting into like the junior high and the high school level with programs for kids of that age?
Absolutely. We've a mix of, we've had all three so far. So we've had primary, junior, and senior high. And because our outreach has been so focused on voting populations, typically because of the issues that we're talking about, it has been a breath of fresh air to diversify. And that has been the feedback we've gotten from almost every group who sees the value in the message that we carry to the citizens. They're like, okay, make sure that you start young, because a lot of us are just learning about these things now. So we have engaged with all ages across the board. Our presentations are tailored by those then college, and we have a few types of adult presentations, some for corporates, some for other civic groups and nonprofits, and then general presentations for anyone that's interested. And it does facilitate somewhat of a back and forth dialogue. I think the key in the success of what we've started and hope to do throughout the next 6 months is that we're listening. We're not just going and telling people what we've learned and what research says, what data says, but we're finding out, okay, this is what we know about nation building and about responsible governance and active citizenship. What are your barriers? What's holding you back? Where are you at? What do you think about this, and where do you see yourself in it? So I think that's the thing that makes it a viable message across different age groups.
Well, you're on to something here. I really think so. I think, and if you catch young people, like I said, early, it gives them something to focus on. I look at a lot of schools, you know, you got Rotary with Rotaract and Interact and so on and so forth. You got other civic organizations and nonprofit organizations in schools. And I think this can actually be something to get these kids involved, and especially in the Family Islands too. Because a lot of people tend to do, you know, the Family Islands on a secondary or a third level of a campaign. To do it initially is impressive. So how have the results been in the Family Islands? How have you guys been received down there?
Well, the three places that we've done so far, as I understand it, they love us. That might sound a bit cocky, but I think they really enjoy our presence being there. Because, you know, I think it feels great to have someone from the Providence or from the outer island, some from somewhere else that is not their island, to visit them and to teach them something of worth and value. So as I've noticed so far, they've been enjoying it. And I think that they want us to come back as well. So I think it's been a great opportunity for them and for us to have that experience.
Now, the community focus groups. Now, let's talk a little bit more about them. Am I getting this correct that you guys actually go into the communities, you join them with their focus groups and actually work on the network and bringing them together on how best they can solve the problems in their community most effectively? Is that what I'm getting from this?
Yeah, so with the focus groups, we haven't launched that yet. That will kick off in January, but that is okay. Precisely the idea. I think two things that stand out from the planning and from our previous experience on the ground in communities. The first is that when people hear of progress and nation building, it automatically feels Nassau-centric because central government is here. So we are making it our duty to connect with local government. And the realization is that when we talk about challenges, there's no better person to talk about what issues they're experiencing than people who live in these island communities. Sometimes, even though those of us who are a little more minded to think of family islanders think that all of the problems are the same. There's a lack of development. There are some challenges with infrastructure and so on and so forth. But every island is unique. We had a great conversation with representatives of the District Council on Bimini, and they were talking about the fact that their residents there are eager to have community meetings and to do focus groups, but they haven't necessarily. And so that teaches us that even though you may assume that things aren't happening, people are prepared to pool their ideas and concerns together and think of ways to push for progress around particular issues. So we're hoping that from this, we can not only help them to brainstorm, but also collect information from around the country that we could put forward to relevant members of the government so we can build a greater level of collaboration and maybe even see some of the specific island concerns reflected in manifestos from political organizations vying for office, because that's really what it's all about, to be responsive. That's one of the key standards of a good, well-governed country, that they're responsive to the actual needs of the people. And there's no way of knowing exactly what those are without having those conversations. So that's what we hope to get out of those focus groups.
And I think it's important with the focus groups too, because a lot of times people have great intentions, but they don't know how to focus in and hone in on what the core issue is. And you get a little sidetracked. But I think if there's some, you know, good mentorship and good counseling, I think a lot of these community groups could take off and really spring into action. And that's what we need, you know, active, vibrant community groups and focus groups within the community that know what's going on. Like you say, so when you speak to folks on a political level, they know how to address it. And we can actually look at the specifics instead of, you know, having another committee for this, another committee for that. Or, you know, I'm tired of the committees now. We need more action and we need more people getting involved. So I think this is a great way to spur activism within the country and within communities, just letting communities know how important their voices are. You know, and how they need to be not neglected. Like, listen, we have a voice too, and we know how to present. And I think this is some really good stuff that you guys are doing.
Thank you very much.
So keep us posted on all your upcoming stuff in January. Come back on, and let's get the community focus groups. Let's push that out there, because I know you'll be kicking that off in January, correct? So let's get you guys back on, and we'll chop it up some more on that. More importantly, how can folks get up-to-date information? I got some text coming in. How can folks get up-to-date information on this program? I take it, you know, through org, correct?
Yes. So we usually update things on our Facebook page. So you can check out our Facebook page at Org Bahamas Foundation. That is ORG Bahamas Foundation. And we regularly post updates there on what we're doing and things that we're doing in the community, as well as internationally. So you can keep it to date with our Facebook page as well as the Instagram pages. But if you just type in our Bahamas Foundation, you'll be able to find us on most social media pages and platforms.
Here's another text. Are there any more meetings for this year, or will everything kick off in January?
So we're open to presentations literally over the course of this and the next week. That's when we shut down. And the presentations are really easy for us to slot in and come to meet groups where they are. So anyone that's interested, I cut out a little bit, but bahamas.com. So that's citizens.org, bahamas.com. And we'd be glad to talk about scheduling with anyone that may be interested in the near future. For the presentations, but the focus groups specifically and the advocacy toolkit to empower the advocates, those will kick off in January.
All right. Well, we will have you guys back in January to talk more about that. I really appreciate you guys chiming in. Give my regards to Matt and Candace and the rest of the crew over there at Org. And if I don't see you guys before, have a good, safe Christmas and a happy new year. And let's continue to do big things with Org in the new year, man. Definitely.
Thank you so much, Nolan.
Definitely.
Thanks
appreciate
a lot.
What
same
you
to
guys
you.
Are doing
Thanks.
In the community. All right, so we'll talk soon. We'll get to the first break, and on the flip side of the break, we'll open up the lines on this Thursday, December 8th edition of Talking Heads. Boy, look here, the union's hot again. BPSU raises pressure on the government. All right, Sears, bad state of roads being addressed. Yeah, it keeps being addressed. You all keep talking about it. Why don't you be about it and fix some of them damn potholes, man? Let's go. Wait, listen, if this was Domino's, you ain't trying to save your seat right now, Mr. Sears. I just letting you know that. We'll talk more. On the flip side of the break right here is Talking Heads continues right after this.
Christmas is coming and your fingers are tingling for the KFC flavors that satisfy your cravings. Get that fried chicken holiday vibe with a juicy KFC Festive Feast Mega Pack. Loaded with 8 boneless KFC bites of 100% white meat, a chicken leg, mashed potato with gravy, corn, a biscuit, a delicious guava dessert biscuit, and a mega-sized Pepsi. Have a with KFC.
When I had got prostate cancer, my family didn't know if I was going to live. At Cancer Treatment Centers of America. Within days, I got an appointment. They presented me with treatment options, and they set up a robotic prostatectomy. When my scans came back, there are no signs of cancer. They don't see you as a number, they see you as a part of family. I'm going on with my life. That's a real gift.
Call us at Cancer Treatment Centers of America.
George Shoes and Accessories is your one-stop shop for all your footwear needs. Whatever the occasion, George is confident you will find what you're looking for. Among our always growing collection of amazing and trendy styles, we cover women, men, children, the whole family. Together with George's great prices and helpful and friendly customer service, your experience in shopping with us will be time well spent. Too busy to come in store? Shop with us online, www.johnshoes.com. John's also now carries small home appliances. So come on in today at John's, where we put fashion at your feet.
Kick off the holiday season with Dunkin' signature lattes made with rich espresso and topped with whipped cream. Sip a Dunkin' peppermint mocha latte with mocha and peppermint, or try a toasted white chocolate latte with creamy white chocolate flavor. The new Dunkin' brown sugar cookie latte features notes of sweet brown sugar and holiday spices. Hurry in today. The Dunkin' holiday lattes are only in town for the holiday season. The holidays run on Dunkin'.
Christy Simon Games has a list of names. Who will get the cash? Yes, we brought it back. 20 gets you in, 12 is to win. Right now we'll put money on your book. You can have a very Merry Christmas. Simon Games can take care of your wish list. 12 is a cash must with Percy Simon Games. It's the game you know, the friends you trust. You may play with them, but you win with us.
For every $20 deposit, you're entered to win cash.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Talking Heads, Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, 4:41 p.m. is the time. I'm going to open up the lines right now chime on in. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Text lines powered by BTC, 422-GR96, 422-4796. Cable channel 969, BTC flow channel 612. All right? That's how you get it in. That's how you get it on. But, what's your take on the road situation, though, man? There's still a lot of talking. I see a lot of little patchwork going on. I rode around to check some in my neighborhood. I kept a distance because I didn't want to fall in again. Some of the work looks legit. Some of the work looks a little patchy, no pun intended. And that makes me wonder who's getting all these contracts. Because at the end of the day, shouldn't there be some uniform way of patching these potholes with the right materials to repair them so they don't wash out in a couple of weeks? Because that's defeating the purpose. If we're going to pay for road works, then we need to do it and maintain it. I mean, wherever I go, that's the first word people tell me. Naughty, keep on them, but the potholes, man. Naughty, the potholes. I mean, do you think it's the stage now where we can't get it right? Because if you think back from time immemorial, potholes have been part of our makeup. We've had jokes about potholes. We've had jokes about craters. Is the joke on us, though, that we keep electing individuals that allow us to continue down this path? Isn't there certain things infrastructurally that we require as citizens to be top of the line, like electricity, running water, drivable roads, accessible roads? Isn't that part of it? Proper medical facilities, so on and so forth. I mean, or is it all buck up go? When we deal with it. It's crazy. And I don't want to hear anymore that the roads are being addressed, Mr. Sears. We've been talking about this for better part of 8-9 months. The majority of this administration's first year in government, potholes has been steadily creeping up the list. The roads are... And to hear you know, the Minister of Works and Utilities said that instead of the roads and New Providence is being addressed, they're being addressed very comprehensively. How? You will see contractors throughout the 12 zones repairing the roads. And as you know, there's been a long period of neglect, but our focus is prospective solving the problem, and they're being addressed. But let me know who the contractors are, brother, because I want to know who's making sure our roads are right. Okay? I don't want to hear you talking about it. You addressing it. Next time you address it, say they fixed properly. And again, we need to know who paving the holes. I'm not trying to make it difficult for said contractors, but at the end of the day, if we're taxpayers, shouldn't we at least know how our money is being spent and with who? Because that ties in with accountability. I mean, don't get me wrong, but let's make sure the most qualified Bahamians get the contracts that they're qualified for, so we, the citizenry, get the best results that we pay for. Because at the end of the day, it's our dime. Let's check the text lines. Just get it fixed and properly. Start with the Band-Aid approach. Hold the persons who are fixing the roads to account. We are tired giving contracts and getting shoddy work. Well, see, it's not only me, texter, see? Okay. I agree with you. I need to know if we go on a patch of road, for example, say you go from Fish Fry to the end of Ghost Low Bend, and that has been paved in a shoddy manner, I need to know who got the contract and paved that area. Why was it done so poorly? And to ensure that, look, y'all got a contract for what y'all can handle, but this y'all can't handle. Next go around, you can't get this contract because it's wastage. Because the job wasn't done properly in the first place, so now you got to repair it. Now you got to revisit it. And who pays for that? Whose dime is that? Joe Public, me and you, who pay taxes and who vote. So please, Mr. Sears, spare us. You're quite eloquent with your pontifications. I must give you that. But they're just now pontifications. Let the rubber meet the road, as in the tires meet the road on paved new roads with properly patched potholes. You know? Naughty, they must be using Elmer's glue to patch these holes. Sawdust and Elmer's gluing. Must see. I don't know. It's just amazing that we end up talking about the same just things over and over and over again. And administration after administration. I mean, come on. At some point, we got to stop being the conch. We, the voters, have to stop being the conch. I'm going to say it again. Repeat it with me as you drive. We, the voters, must stop being the conch. Teach it to your children. Let's go to the text lines. Naughty, good idea. If they didn't do the consequences like no more contracts for a year or no more contracts doing that kind of work, find out what they're good at, put them in that area, get them a contract to take care of their family and their company and benefit the Bahamas with the good work that they can do. Just don't put them in a league where they can't hang. Keep them in the lane where they could be effective. Let's go to the phone lines. Talking Heads, Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Who's this?
Hey, Naughty.
What's going on, Jeff? All good?
Yeah, man. And good afternoon to you. Good afternoon to your madam. I haven't seen you all for a while, but hey.
Yeah, man, we got to do something in the new year for sure, man. I missed that old Crystal Palace theater, boy. I remember when Love Fest was a staple every February down there, man.
Man, you ain't telling me.
Love Fest still a staple for the comedy lovers. Relax, February soon reached. But I mean, boy, I missed that Crystal Palace. That theater was like the best place ever to do comedy,
that
man.
Theater, the Rainforest Theater.
Yeah, man.
As far as this country is concerned, to be honest with you, was the best theater on the island.
Balcony. Great seats, great views, lower level, great views. The
awesome
Rays, yeah, man.
Awesome sound system.
Yeah, they had a dude who knew what he was doing out there with the sound system, man.
Okay.
He must be your twin because he looks something like you.
Well, I hope he was me. Anyway, Naughty.
Guilty as charged, Jeff. Guilty as charged.
Yeah, guilty as charged. But you and I, we can do something because I got something on the board that I want to discuss with you anyway. But we'll talk about that after the show.
No worries, man.
Okay. Potholes, roadworks. You know, from time immemorial.
You mean lack of roadworks, eh?
Yeah, well, roadworks. Administration after administration after administration. And it's the same two administrations, the PLP and the FN. You know, just finger pointing about infrastructure and all that stuff, it falls on both of the parties. All right? You say government is continuous, but the way how I see some of the things going on in this country, it seems as if government is continuous as far as the political party that they represent is concerned. We have to fix this problem. We had excellent road builders, Bill Simmons, and there was another guy who did the roadworks in Exuma, as well as in Acklands, Crooked Island. I can't remember his name right now. But you had major road builders and persons who were very good with resurfacing roads and using the right mix and so on and so forth. I'm wondering, where are these people?
Right.
You know, are they out of business? Are they deceased and their children did not pick up their family business? I mean, where are they?
Maybe they're not part of the lovers, friends, homies,
friends,
and cronies
and
network. Yeah.
My brother, all I could do is tell you this much. You know? We have many roads that need urgent attention. And I'm not even talking about the potholes right now. The potholes is only an addition to it. But I'm talking about the major thoroughfares, the Mackey Street, the Market Street, the East Street, and so on and so forth, that hasn't had any attention for well over a decade or two. You know, they are deserving of anything. Now, the pothole issues, like I said before, because I won't say because of the shoddy workmanship, but I'm wondering if the Ministry of Works actually go back and really review.
Well, that's my question, Jeff. Shouldn't there be like a review board from these ministries that if I give Jeff the contract to provide a road from X, Y, and Z from point A to point B, shouldn't there be follow-up afterwards after I cut the check and give you the check to make sure that you did your due diligence? Or maybe cut the check in portions, meaning you get half the start before you get the last half. I need to see this road, you know, in perfect shape like you did what you were supposed to do. And it grades out and it meets, you know, standard.
I'll carry that a step further. I believe that after these guys are out here patching the road, there should be an inspector there to ensure that the hole was patched properly. When I say patch, the stuff they put in the hole first is packed properly, stamped properly. I know sometimes they'll say, well, you know, we need the rain to wet it, or we'll wet it sufficiently so it can pack properly. But then when you put the asphalt on top, Well, it's the quality of the asphalt. Is the mix right? Where are the inspectors for these things? Rightfully said. You could patch the hole now and come back a week later, and the hole has already began to deteriorate.
And guess what, Jeff? If I know I can keep going back and getting a check cut every couple of weeks because these potholes keep opening up to patch them, what am I going to do? Keep patching them in a shoddy manner so I can keep getting paid.
Okay.
I mean, I got a text lining in right now saying the citizens suffer when the contracts are given to persons who are skimming on the good quality product and causing us, the taxpayers, to pay more and more. We must stop this process.
Well, we are paying for it. Our vehicles are paying for it. But more than anything, which I heard nobody talk about it yet, our health is taking a toll on it. All this bouncing up and down. You don't know what pressure it puts on the bones, what it's putting on the muscles, what it's putting on your brain. You don't know. And so, you know, we have to consider all these things. But
you had the right pothole, you could end up with CTE if you had bucked the roof.
Well, with the right pothole, you could end up in China.
That's another story for another day.
Okay, we'll talk later, Naughty.
All right, Jeff, be safe, man. Take care. Always good stuff as always, man. All right, let me check the text lines real quick. Naughty, while we're on the subject of roadworks, can we add proper bicycle lanes and pedestrian thoroughfares, i.e. sidewalks, to all major thoroughfares and even to the minor ones? Yeah, I ain't gonna read that foolishness about the Eagles because y'all ain't gonna fly nowhere. Y'all can get punched in your mouth in 2 weeks, courtesy of the Dallas Cowboys. I hope you call me about fly, Eagle, fly with your little emoji then. But apart from that, I agree with the rest of your text. A lot of people a little sour and salty on the subject of sidewalks, but I agree. In certain areas, they do need proper sidewalks on proper thoroughfares. And in the areas where they should have put sidewalks in the first place and they didn't, that actually need them, yes, I agree there. As well as thoroughfares and pedestrian lanes. Yeah, I agree with you, man. Texter, I do. Everything except that Philadelphia Eagle foolishness. So let me check the text lines again. Naughty. YouTube has a great tutorial on how to properly pave a road. Should I send the person who has the road contract the link? Maybe you should. Or maybe they should give you the contract since you watched a YouTube video. So, Naughty, is all this killing going on because people brain scramble from driving on these roads? I think that might be a combination to it. They're already volatile coming in, already got issues coming in. And that bumpy ride could just set it off. That's what I think. All right. Well, guess what? We got to get to the break and we got to get to the news. But seeing how the roads all kapunkled up, man. Mr. Producer, draw for this one, man. We got to go to the break with some buju. Not an easy road. Because it ain't an easy road to travel on. It's full of potholes, full of foolishness, and full of promises. Bad promises, just like the bad roads. Man, they can get fixed. I don't want you to tell me, man. Tell me they have been fixed and have been fixed properly. Buju, take me to the break, Gargamel.
Road. How many see the glamour and the guitar so them think I better rose? Me say, who feels it knows? Ooh, Lord, help me sustain these blows. I cry, it's not an easy road. How many see the glamour and the guitar so them think I better rose? Me say, who feels it knows? Ooh, Lord, help me sustain. Why? From the minute of birth to enter this life.
How important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options, we're here to help your business succeed. Speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
With fine style, with elegant taste, then fine threads is your place. If you want those slacks hemmed or just taking the waist, then fine threads is your place. If you want to look suave and debonair everywhere you go, like you're supposed to be in a video. Want to step out and look great? Then fine threads is your place. With fine style, with elegant taste, then fine threads is your place. Is your place. Is your place.
J.S. Johnson Insurance agents are the best. Reliable service, we've been on the scene, protecting since 1919. J.S. Johnson Insurance has the best. Always, you're always covering me. J.S. Johnson Insurance, peace of mind.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Talking Heads with Nati is sponsored by BTC, Burger King, the Cancer Treatment Centers of America, Dunkin' Donuts, Fine Threads, John's Department Store, J.S. Johnson, Joker's Wild, KFC, Naughty Johnny's, Percy's Island Games, and Tropical Gyros.
Talking Heads, the Thursday, December 8th edition continues right now. We're up into the 5 o'clock hour, 5.07 p.m. is the time. I know Purdy's doing the baseball thing today. He's doing the public announcing. Voice of the stadium. Voice of the Caribbean World Baseball Cup. Caribbean baseball, man. Big things popping under the stadium. Big game tonight. Bahamas and Puerto Rico. Keep an eye out for Purdy, though, Mr. Producer. He may pop on in. You never know how the pearl goes. But like we do each and every day, we'll start it off how we do. Today in sports history, all brought to you, of course, by Naughty Johnny's Well Weather Trip out there to the Old Fort Shopping Plaza. Monday through Friday, great for lunch and dinner. Then on the weekend, Saturday and Sunday, great for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Breakfast starting at 9 a.m. Don't forget happy hour every Wednesday and every Friday over there at Naughty Johnny's, 5 to 7. Give them a call, see what they got going on for you. 377-7776. Let's see what happened on this day, December 8th in sports history. 1863, Tom King of England defeated American John Heenan and became the first world heavyweight champion. 1987, Ron Hextall of the Philadelphia Flyers became the first goalie in NHL history to shoot and score a goal. His empty net goal made him only the second goalie to get credit for a goal in the NHL. 1994, in Los Angeles, 12 alternate jurors were chosen for the O.J. Simpson murder trial. Mario Lemieux announced to the Pittsburgh Penguins that he planned to return to the National Hockey League as a player at age 35. He would be the first modern the first modern owner player in U.S. sports history. Wow, look at that. That was in 2000 when Lemieux did that. It didn't seem that long ago, but 22 years ago. There you have it. The Orlando Magic ended their 19-game losing streak by beating the Phoenix Suns 105-98 in 2003. 2004 in Michigan, 5 Indiana Pacers and 7 fans were charged for various crimes related to a fight that broke out during a Pacers-Pistons game on November 19th. Of course, Ron Artest, the most famous one in that brawl. Sports quote of the day, fans tend to get too excited by streaks of their kind, and I think the press does too. There should be a happy medium. Walt Alston. All right, and that's a wrap right there on Today in Sports History, all brought to you by Naughty Johnny's. All right, now, let's get up into the local scene, the home court, all brought to you, of course, by Burger King Nassau. And listen, you could ride into the new year in a brand new car. That's right. Get in and upgrade your favorite BK combo. And you got a chance to ride into the holidays in a brand new car. You can win a BYD 2022 Han HEV electric vehicle from Easy Car Sales and Burger King. All you got to do is buy a combo, Deluxe King, King's Feast, or Family Deal. Upgrade it and for your chance to win and drive into the new year in a brand new car, courtesy of Burger King. All right. And of course, the drawing is on December 28th. So fill out your forms correctly when you upgrade it and put it in the correct box. And on the 28th, you could be driving off in a brand new car. And let's check out the home court as far as the sports goes. And of course, you know, dominating the headlines as it should. You know, the activity going down there at the Andre Rogers Baseball Stadium. That should dominate the headlines as it is. And, the Caribbean Baseball Cup. Great game last night. All right. In a highly contested game between Cuba and the Bahamas. Cuba winning that one 9-3. But tempers did flare. And the dugouts emptied in the bottom of the fifth inning last night. And when the dust had cleared, the Bahamas were on the short end of the stick 9-3 to Cuba. But that's still impressive to play Cuba 9-3. Considering how Cuba has dominated this region for years. Now, the Bahamas gave up 6 runs in that fifth inning, and they never recovered. There were 3 ejections, including Bahamian pitcher Carvin Dames and team manager Jaron Sands. Cuban left fielder Hector Labrada was also ejected. The host nation now drops to 1 win and 2 losses in the week-long tournament, and they play again tonight against Puerto Rico. 7 p.m. game. You need to be out there. You need to get fired up. You need to make noise. Team can still get this thing done and qualify. So keep the support coming. Get out to the stadium, all right, and support Team Bahamas. And like I said, got some good players on there representing, you know, our interest in the Major League Baseball pipeline. So definitely get out there and support the thing. I will be there. The Tennis Nationals are 2 weeks away. The Bahamas, the only national championship in the month of December. The Tennis Nationals is about a week away. The Giorgio Baldacci Open, the national championships, is set for December 19th through 22nd at the Bahamas Lawn Tennis Association National Tennis Center. The entry deadline for the tournament is Monday, December 12th at 6 p.m. And the open draw will be done via Zoom on Friday, December 16th at 6 p.m. So, yeah, got some national championships tennis-wise. During the month of December, something for you definitely want to check out as well. And don't forget Don't Blink going on next week, the Don't Blink Home Run Derby. Had a great conversation with Todd Isaacs to kick off the week. And, of course, you know, we'll be talking with Todd next week as well on Monday. He's going to join me along with Lucius Fox of the Washington Nationals, and we'll have a great conversation again. So that's pretty much it for the local scene. And, of course, our Buddy Hield, second fastest to 1,500 made three-pointers. Buddy Hield is in elite company, having become the second fastest player in National Basketball Association history to reach 1,500 made three-pointers. He accomplished the feat on Monday in a 112-104 win for the Pacers over the Golden State Warriors. Ironically, the fastest player in Warriors guards Stephen Curry, the most prolific three-point shooter in NBA history, And it was ironic that they actually played against each other on that night. All right, let's check out the text lines. Naughty UC Brittany Griner is out of jail. They swapped her with the Russian warlord. Yeah, and I hear they had to throw in two packs of Doritos and a six-pack of Dr. Pepper. That's what I heard, because they can't get Dr. Pepper in Russia, nor Doritos. That's what I'm hearing. But yeah, Brittany's out, or soon to be released, obviously in a nation swap, in a you know, prisoner swap. Brittany for the warlord. It is what it is. Now the question is, does she continue? Is she going to be able to play basketball elsewhere? Is she going to play overseas? Obviously not in Russia anymore. But will she go back and play overseas? We have to see. Or possibly, is her career over after this? Obviously, she's going to do the whole gambit, the news run, and the press conferences and the pressers. So we'll see where it goes. But I really think that the penalty was draconian. Okay, first of all, Brittany should have known where she was, known her surroundings, and been more responsible, considering you're a long way from home in a strange place. But afterwards, when the smoke had cleared, when you look at it, the penalty was draconian for what she had committed. So I think it all worked out how it should have worked out. Naughty, I hear Dunkin' Donuts was involved in that trade for Brittany Griner as well. Well, I could make a call. There's a possibility. They may not have Dunkin' in Russia for sure. It might run on something else. I believe it's vodka, not Dunkin'. Yeah. So we'll see where it goes with Brittany Griner. And we'll see how it pans out. And of course, like I say, don't forget, big game tonight, 7 p.m., Bahamas versus Puerto Rico. We got Pearly yet? I tell you, Pearly deep into baseball. He sound like them real baseball announcers too. Now coming to the plate. No, like last night when this dude came up to the plate last night, I'll be honest with you, right? Right here is, now batting for the Cuban national team. Coming to the plate, center fielder, Junior Ibarra. Ibarra. I say, listen to Pearly. I see this got a little echo and everything. And hey, he really's got fired up for the seventh inning stretch, you know. He's be like the Bahamian Harry Carey up there. One, give me a two, give me a three. Take me out to the Yeah, man, it's good. We were proud of Pearly last night. Not of his singing, but of the job well done that he did. But yeah. And hats off to Teddy Sweeten and the crew over there, all right? The Bahamas Baseball Association. Listen, the stadium looks great. The product is good out there. The games are enjoyable. They're exciting. It's definitely a good look. A lot of stairs in that stadium, though. Boy, look here, Mr. Producer, man. I bounced up the first set of stairs last night because I was running a little late feeling good. When I got to the top there, I thought I could do a Rocky, you know? But when I didn't run, I was like more like Fred Sanford. Elizabeth, I'm coming. Oh, this is the big one. It was a walk. But it was worth it, man. What I like about the stadium, though, I walked around like I do in all the stadiums, and there is not one bad vantage point to watch a baseball game in that stadium. If you're on the left field sidelines, you got a great vantage point. If you're on the right field sideline, great vantage point. Okay? And then you got the seats behind home plate and curling around on the first base and third base side. Look, it's definitely good luck. Good luck. I cannot take it from them. Pick up the Michael Foster, man. I saw him last night. He's just walking around like a proud papa. Well-deserved there, Foster. Good job. As far as the architectural contributions that you made on it and the designs, it's good stuff. Naughty, what do you think about Team Bahamas' behavior during the games? There is a brawl every night. Guys are frustrated because of losing and tempers are flying. No, I don't think it's a brawl. That's baseball. And if you got to play whether you're winning or losing, there's just certain rules and unwritten rules of baseball. I think some of the unwritten rules might have been, you know, broken. And that's why you had the low fracas. And that wasn't really a brawl, okay? That was more of a redden obsession. I could row you and Cubans cursing back and carrying on. But there wasn't no scrapping. But that's baseball, though. How many times do you see that in the major leagues? It shows me the team has heart. It shows me the team has passion, that they're well coached. They got fire. They don't want to lose. They don't like losing. And they're going to play hard. So I have no problem with them. I have no problem with that. That's baseball. That's a part of baseball. Naughty could probably announce the beginning of an election. He could say, let's get rid. Yeah, maybe we should, you know. Maybe when the next election come out and everybody decides to say officially, okay, we in the runoff, we in the election, we in silly season. To kick off silly season, we should have Pearly out there like Michael Buffer and Rawson Square, you know. In this corner, fresh from the airport, off of his latest trip, give it up for the incumbent. Coming in at a sweat, but I know how much Brave David. You know, Brave Davis, Davis. And then you come out, you know, F&M could come out and they could play like little theme music and you could bring out Pintar like Iron Mike. And like Tyson, when he speak, he don't speak like Tyson. You can actually understand him. And that might work. But I digress. So, with that being said, let's get up into the first break, Mr. Producer. And on the flip side of the break, we'll get into the Who's In and Who's Out segment. All brought to you, of course, by Tropical Gyros. We'll talk international sports. And get you ready for my Pro Picks, brought to you, of course, by The Island Game. And toward the bottom of the hour, well, you know, today is Thursday. So who we got lined up for you today? What'd we do on Monday? Monday we had Overreaction Monday. Tuesday we had the waiver wire pickups. Yesterday was start 'em or sit 'em. And today, well, we might have some bold predictions and so on and so forth. All right, but we'll get you caught up with a good ride home as well today. For the final 10. All right, we'll pick it up on the flip side of the break as the Wednesday, December 8th edition of Talking Heads continues right after this.
Dunkin' has a new twist on an old holiday favorite. The Dunkin' Turkey Cranberry Sandwich layers sliced deli turkey, Swiss cheese, fresh crisp arugula on a flaky buttery croissant, all topped with mustard and cranberry sauce. Made to order all day long, the Dunkin' Turkey Cranberry Sandwich combo includes a bag of crispy popcorners and a freshly brewed iced tea for only $9 plus VAT. Tis the season. The Bahamas runs on Dunkin'.
Refined style with elegant taste, then fine threads is your place. If you want those slacks hemmed or just taking the waist, then fine threads is your place. If you want to look suave and debonair everywhere you go, like you're supposed to be in a video, want to step out and look great, then fine threads is your place. Refined style with elegant taste, then fine threads is your place, is your place, is your place.
Do you want a chance to win one of five Yamaha Kryptonite scooters? Do you like the great taste of Frito-Lay chips? Well, all you have to do is purchase chips like Lay's, Doritos, and Cheetos at your favorite grocery store. And you can enter to win thanks to Frito-Lay and the Island Wholesale Scooter Giveaway Promotion. Want to know more?
Join us December 10th at Quality Supermarket South Beach.
This Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for a chance to play Island Wholesale Shoot and Win Game for instant prizes and a chance to win one of five Yamaha scooters. Frito-Lay, distributed by Island Wholesale.
Christmas coming here.
Christmas is coming and your favorites that satisfy your cravings. Get that fried chicken holiday vibe with a juicy KFC Festive Feast Mega Pack. Loaded with 8 boneless KFC bites of 100% white meat, a chicken leg, mashed potato with gravy, corn, a biscuit, a delicious guava dessert biscuit, and a mega-sized Pepsi. Have a finger-licking good Christmas with KFC.
Island Games has a list of names. Who will get the cash? Yes, we brought it back. 20 gets you in, 12 is to win. Right now we'll put money on your boat. You can have a very Merry Christmas. Island Games can take care of your wish list. 12 is a cash must with Percy's Island Games. It's the game you know, the friends you trust. You may play with them, but you win with us.
For every $20 deposit, you're entered to win cash.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
We'll be right back.
Talking Heads, the Thursday, December 8th edition continues right now. And we're up into the 5 o'clock hour, 5:25 p.m. is the time. And like I say, we're trying to get into the who's in and who's about you, of course, by Tropical Gyros. And don't forget that new location coming online real soon out there at JFK. Woo! I'm telling you, you're going to have Tropical Gyros in the West, baby. That's what I'm talking about. Be sure to check them out there, though. Mackie and Rosetta right there, the flagship store. They're open until 6, so you got ample opportunity on the ride home to stop off and let Chef Carmen and the crew do the cooking for you, all right? Just don't ask to charge your phone. That's an inside joke. Don't worry about it. Don't worry. But, yeah, definitely go check them out. They're waiting on you over there at Tropical Gyros, man. And it's Thursday night, game night, man. You know, take some gyros home and watch that big NFL game tonight. You got the Raiders and the Rams going at it. It's a good look. Perfect, you know, combination would be Tropical Gyros with that. That's what I'm talking about. All right. So let's look at who's in and who's out. And check out some of the sports headlines that are breaking right now. And like I said, in the world of sports, you know, as you get into the weekend, that's when a lot of things start picking up. A lot of things start rumbling. All right? If you look at... the breaking news is popping right now that's burning things up out of the NFL. Has nothing to do with what's going on the field, but everything to do with what's going on off the field. House Committee Commanders Daniel Snyder provided misleading testimony in a probe. The House Committee on Oversight and Reform released a 79-page report on Thursday following an investigation into the Washington Commanders' organizational and workplace culture. Per Mark Mask, Liz Clark, and Nick Jahabvala of the Washington Post, the report says the commander's owner, Daniel Snyder, evaded questions by saying more than 100 times that he did not know or could not recall information and gave misleading answers when he testified remotely in July. It was difficult to even reach terms for Snyder to participate in the testimony, considering he initially declined the invitation to do so in person at a June 22nd hearing. His attorney also refused to accept the electronic service of a subpoena. Over the last year, Mr. Snyder engaged in a series of attempts to interfere with the committee's investigation, the report said. Mr. Snyder publicly assailed witnesses, refused to release former employees from their confidentiality obligations, and blocked the committee's access to tens of thousands of documents collected during the Wilkinson investigation. And all of this started, remember, in the aftermath of the emails between former Las Vegas Raiders head coach John Gruden and former Washington team president Bruce Allen becoming public. Gruden later resigned because the emails revealed his use of racial and anti-gay and misogynistic language and slurs. And, of course, you know, it's to be noted that NFL and NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell accusing them of leaking the correspondence in an effort to publicly sabotage Gruden's career. So there's a lot of things emanating out of this, but at the head of it is Daniel Snyder. And this isn't even addressing the allegations of cooking the books, being disingenuous to other owners and to the league. My question to you now, football fans, is there a place in the NFL for Daniel Snyder, or should he be forced to sell the team? Or if not, relinquish all control and let another family member run the team like the 49ers did back in the day with the DeBartolos? But look at it. I mean, this is going to get nasty. And it seems like Snyder is marching to the beat of his own drum. He operates in a very underhanded fashion. I think he may have some recordings on Goodell and some other owners. I think he wants to play that route. But at the end of the day, whether you like him or not, that Washington Commander and formerly Redskin franchise is a storied part of the NFL. Franchise. It's a popular franchise. It's won multiple Super Bowls. Snyder is bad for that brand in Washington. He's bad for the NFL brand as well. I think he needs to be replaced. Either force him to resign or relinquish control or force him to sell. You know, resign and relinquish control, obviously, but then force him to sell as well. Find another potential buyer for that team and keep it moving. Some other stories emanating out of the NFL. You got former Cowboys head coach and New York Giants offensive coordinator Jason Garrett could potentially be the next Stanford Cardinals football coach out there in the NCAA at Stanford University. Keep an eye on that. Apparently, you know, the Josh Allen and the Bills brass had an amazing dinner with OBJ. So that continues to swirl. Who's he going to sign with? We'll keep an eye on that and where he potentially ends up. You got a game tonight between the Raiders and the Rams. I like the Raiders in that one. I'll talk more about it. But a little interesting tidbit. The Raiders are 3-0 since Derek Carr had the breakdown and cried at the press conference. Yes. So keep an eye there. Switching to the NBA. Multiple teams are eyeing Cam. Bucks have expressed interest since the Knicks acquired Cam in January. And, it seems to be, you know, now it's to a point where obviously it's not working in New York. When they made the trade with the Atlanta Hawks, they got Cam Reddish, but the team has reportedly been fielding offers to ship him away for quite some time. Several teams have expressed interest in trading for Reddish since the Knicks acquired him in January 2022. The top team in the top suitor, the Los Angeles Lakers, followed by the Miami Heat and the Milwaukee Bucks, are among the teams who reached out with the most interest to New York in that span. Reddish was removed from the Knicks rotation this week and hasn't played since last Saturday's 21-point loss to the Dallas Mavericks. New York has won back-to-back games since then and has a 12-13 record. Stephen Bondi of the New York Daily News reported that the Knicks were working with Reddish and his representatives to secure a deal for him. However, the 23-year-old later said he wasn't trying to force his way off the team. "I haven't requested any trades," he said. "I have not. You all seem to know more than me, for real. I don't know what you all talking about, but I haven't requested any kind of trade, nothing like that." Now, listen, if you look at Reddish, he's failed to make an impact since he entered the league as the number 10 overall pick in 2019. The Duke product has a career average of 10.2 points on 39.3% shooting from the field and 32.3% from beyond the arc. Still, he's very young, and he has the potential to develop into a contributor in the right situations. I think the Bucks might be the best landing spot for him. No pressure, just be a part of the rotation and contribute. But again, the Lakers give him another opportunity to play right away and work through some of the issues. So we'll keep an eye out as to where Cam Reddish ends up. That's coming across the NBA wire a lot. And obviously the Lakers, speaking of the Lakers, they struggled without LeBron and AD last night, losing to the Raptors. Very sluggish. So the Lakers still a work in progress, still trying to figure things out, still have to make a trade. And here are some of the potential trades that'll come off across the wire, courtesy of Zach Buckley of the Bleacher Report. Zach does a good job, man. He comes up with a lot of trade scenarios and potential, you know, scenarios. I think NBA GMs actually read his stuff because I've seen some of the things he suggested actually get pulled off. But if you look at a team-by-team breakdown, you know, Alex Burks of the Detroit Pistons, he turned 31 this summer. So he could be, you know, a trade candidate. He could definitely be shipped out of there. All right? Another one is Bojan Bogdanovic, also of the Pistons. Lakers interested there. Pelinka might make an offer. And apparently Pelinka possibly might make a trip to Detroit. So we'll see. Another option, Kelly Oubre of the Charlotte Hornets, Kelly Oubre Jr., on the block. All right. That's another three of those options right there that the Lakers should look at in depth. Two of them, Detroit Pistons, like I said, Alex Burks, just turned 31 this past summer. And he has a contract that's not holding him beyond a team option remaining, so he could be let go. He's not part of the rebuilding process with the Pistons or in their long-term plans. But if he went to the Lakers, he'd immediately address a need for a reliable perimeter depth. He doesn't have one standout skill, but he does a lot of different things at serviceable levels or better, and he's a career 38% three-point shooter. And he's a very capable and willing defender. So that's what he brings to the table. And, you know, he wouldn't take long to fit in alongside Davis and LeBron James. I like this idea. Bojan Bogdanovic of the Pistons. Now, apparently, Pelinka is serious enough to make a visit over the weekend coming up this week. This weekend, he might go to Detroit, make a visit, see if they can get things done. Bogdanovic tops his list. Now, he's 33, but he's still a super skilled scorer who could thrive as the Lakers' third option. And he's a 39.4% career three-point shooter, so he could be a catch-and-shoot monster in that Laker offense. He could create on his own, and he could find looks for himself. He's averaged 20 points a game this season. Or his teammates, 3.5 assists per game. Now, remember, he's not an elite athlete, but he's smart, high basketball IQ, and he can hold his own defensively. And I think the Lakers are very doing this. And he's definitely in their trade budget. And I think he might be their priority when it comes to trades. Now, as far as Kelly Oubre Jr. goes, listen, that goes along with the youth movement and more athletic on the wings. And Kelly Oubre Jr. would make the position more dynamic in L.A., add some youth and athleticism to it as well. He's got crazy ups, and he knows how to use his ability to get up and down the court and elevate above the rim, all right? But he's more known for locking people down defensively. He's got great length and athleticism, and that makes him an asset on both ends of the court, offense and defense. Now, his three-point shot, 33% career, three-point shooter, all right? But he's not an average. He's about an average clip, all right? Within league average. So he's serviceable in that regard. But he could pile up points without the three-point shot. Busy around the rim, good rebounder. Got a little garbage man to him with the follow-ups. So he's averaging 20 points a game. So you got to look at Oubre as a potential trade chip for the Lakers. And with the Hornets struggling, hardly got any kind of traction going this season. Can't get out of their own way. Oubre could be up for grabs, and I think that might be a good move for the Lakers as well. Those kind of pieces might make this Laker team get a little bit better and push them in a direction where there's more chemistry, cohesiveness, and they can focus on developing an identity to go along with their defense. They can develop an identity offensively. That may help. Now, apparently, speaking of trades, Pelinka, though, still a Laker fan, still stuck in this, that he's not using the 2027 or 2029 unprotected first-round NBA draft picks in any trade unless they're getting an all-star player in return. Now, remember, the Lakers started off 2-10, but they followed that off with an 8-3 run in their next 10. And let's be honest, Anthony Davis has been the catalyst for that run, averaging 35 points, 15 rebounds, and 3 blocks per game in that stretch. So obviously, they still want to build around him for the long term, even though he's tissue paper, injured every chance he could be injured. But I'm thinking, you know, they got to get another veritable all-star in there. And I think that's the route you have to go when you trade Russell Westbrook. You got to try to find something salary cap-wise and skill-wise that's going to get in there. Especially if you're going to put those two first-round picks to go along with it. That is the ticket right there. That is the key. You cannot, if you give them up, get nothing in return. Because you're basically going to have your cupboard bare for years to come. Now, if you were to trade LeBron, though, you could get draft picks. And you could get one or two pieces player-wise to go with the salary to make it work out. And in the resurgence in L.A. in the 8-3 run, it has been all AD. LeBron's been a non-factor now. Missed a couple of games in that stretch and all. I think the Lakers' best route would be to trade LeBron and Westbrook and see what they can get off of those trades, see if they can make a playoff push this year, but at least they know what they're looking like for the future and the landscape with what's in front of them moving forward. Let's go to the phone lines real quick. Talking Heads, Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Who's this? It's Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Who's this? Hello.
Hey, Nutty.
Hey, what's going on?
I don't know why you're an asshole, you know.
Why?
You need to go there anyway.
I'm only talking about the Lakers, man. I only...
No. But see, it makes sense in terms of all the different pieces, you know.
About trading LeBron? I think now would be the best time to trade him.
No. See, his biggest handicap, right, is that with all his ability, he still has a problem playing team ball.
Yeah, I think, the team ball has to be played the way he wants it to be played, or he ain't buying it.
No. Hold on. See, it took MJ 6 years to learn that,
Right.
And James ain't learned it yet.
Well, you understand, that is a major part of my angst with him coming to the Lakers and my distaste for him being there. And I'm not one of those fans that's going to say, I welcome him with open arms because he played for my team. I don't like you now.
No, he can. He is, until he becomes a catalyst, until he becomes a catalyst, he ain't getting no place ever close to those end games. He needs to change his attitude and become a catalyst for that team, man.
I don't think it's going to happen. And I think, his move there was for life after basketball, to set up the business in the off-court. I think right now, if the Lakers want to save face in all of this, because what have you gotten in the 4 years that he's been there? One championship that he piggybacked AD to get in the bubble, but they haven't done anything since that remotely close to it.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Epic failure, if you ask me. So if you have teams willing right now who are in desperation mode to win a championship and get over the hump, a perfect example is like the Phoenix Suns. You could definitely make a trade there. Mm-hmm. Get some pieces out of them and some draft picks, which they do have, and that helps. And there's other teams you could look at, too, that if you go down systematically, there's some contenders that would take LeBron on. And the Lakers would be able to get pieces as far as players right now because of the salary cap ramifications, but also get draft picks for the future. And that cupboard is bared right now draft pick-wise, so they need to restock.
If he makes a move, and he expects to win any kind of championship or be close in those finals, he needs to change his attitude.
Yeah, at this stage of his career, he's got to realize the window is now closing, it's not opening. No. And he needs to, if he wants to have a better shot at extending the career and winning, then he's got to become more of a facilitator. And more of a organizer rather than, grab the ball, dip the shoulder, run down the court, finger roll all night.
It's not about
him anymore. He's got to be able to accept that. He's got to look at how do I make my legacy better? When I get to this stage in my career, do I make the ones around me better? Do I become more of a facilitator and a provider? Or do I continue my role as the king? All for me, baby. And get petulant and upset when it don't go my way.
Overgrown man child.
Yes, indeed. But see, I think this is part of the problem because when he came out of high school, the media was all over him from his junior year in high school and his senior year in high school. So when he arrived, he was very entitled when he arrived to the league.
I look back and I
tell people a lot. I say, listen, if Kobe would have stayed in Charlotte and played as a rookie, we would have the same conversation about him putting up a bunch of points, so on and so forth. But I think the benefit and the blessing for Kobe was ending up in L.A. We had a coach like Del Harris who liked to bring rookies along slowly.
Mm-hmm.
He had some good mentors in the locker room in Nick Van Exel and Eddie Jones and who showed him how the game's supposed to be played right. And it made him hungry and appreciate his opportunity when he got it because he wasn't forced into it because he went to a crappy franchise. LeBron was different. He came out of Cleveland and out of Akron, stayed right at home in Cleveland, walked right into the Cavaliers Arena and started shooting every ball he got as soon as he walked in, and everybody loved me, and it's all about him this whole entire career. But what has he really achieved with that all about me attitude? 4-10 in the finals?
Yep.
Or 4-6 in the finals out of 10 trips? I mean, legacy of a loser.
Anyway.
But hey, hopefully Pelinka gets on the plane. He makes a good trade. I like Bogdanovich. If he could get him out of Detroit for a little or next to nothing, that's a good score, a good third score that helps the Lakers.
Anyway, hope the best happens.
Yeah, but like I say, I don't think it's going to get any better until we get rid of LeBron, one way, shape, or form. But I appreciate your call as always, man. Always good stuff, man. Enjoy the game tonight, Raiders and the Rams. If you watch football, I think that'll be a good one.
Basketball, you know, football.
All right. Watch your basketball. You got a multitude of games on tonight. You got a bevy to watch. As a matter of fact, let me look at the schedule for you right now.
Let me let you see
who playing where, man. We got a bunch now. You got the Heat and the Clippers. You got the Sixers and the Lakers. Trailblazers and the Nuggets. That should be a good game later on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, three big games tonight. That's it. Three big ones.
Yeah, buddy.
So good luck. Enjoy them, man. I appreciate the call as always, bro.
Okay, Nolly.
Take care.
All right.
Don't forget the final 10 today. We got Rich Eisen previewing tonight's game, Raiders and Rams out there in, I think they're playing in L.A. tonight. I think they're playing in Los Angeles. Me personally, I like the Raiders to win this game. Now, the Raiders have been 3-0 since Derek Carr had the emotional breakdown and crying and getting upset all over the place. Davante Adams has been on fuego the last couple of weeks, on absolute fire. Same way with Carr being focused. I think that Raider offense gets enough points tonight to hold a shaky Los Angeles offense in check. They got quarterback issues there. They got running back issues there. They got O-line issues there. I think it'll be a competitive game. And some points might get put up, but at the end of the day, I like the Raiders to get this done and pull the win off tonight, and I like Davante Adams to go off big. Let's go to the phone lines real quick. Talking Heads, Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Who's this?
No. No. I was switching off.
Oh, okay. All right. Pocket dial. It's okay. All right, so I like the Raiders tonight. I like the Raiders to get it done tonight. If you're a betting person, you definitely want to check out theislandgame.com. You know, they got that great sports book going on. And in addition to that, they got a great promotion. They got the 12 Days of Christmas going on. Okay? And you can win right up until Christmas. And it's a great promotion. They do it every year. All right? And it's the 12 Days of Cashmas, brought to you, of course, by The Island Game. All right, and the Island Game is going to reward 78 patrons this holiday season with $250,000 in cash and prizes. How you enter? All you have to do is deposit $20 or more on your verified account during the promotion dates, and it's going to be automatically entered into the promotion. Patrons can enter as many times as they like. However, they can only win once during the promotion. For more information, simply log on to theislandgame.com. And while you're there, check out their sports book and, check it all out. NBA. NFL, Major League Baseball when it's in season, all your college sports. As a matter of fact, let me look at the line tonight for that Raider game. Yeah. Let me pick it properly for you. Right down the middle. Tell you how to win some money tonight. All right? Look at the game tonight. The over the Rams. And the over in the game is 42. Mm-hmm. So, what I do tonight, I would take the Raiders. I think they could get it done by a touchdown. And surprisingly, some people would say, well, hey, I don't like the over. But the Raiders' defense is a little shaky. So I think between the two of them, they could go over 42 as well. A lot of people are leaning on the under in this. I got a funny feeling this Thursday night, only game on the docket. Some fireworks may go off in this one. They're in L.A. So I'm going to go ahead and say the Raiders minus the 7, okay, and over the 42. Minus the 7 and over the 42, all right? Bet it and forget it with the Island Game, and you are good to go. All right, so with that being said, let's get to the break. On the flip side of the break, Rich Eisen's going to take us home with his breakdown of tonight's game, his prediction for the Raiders and the Rams. And I want to thank everybody for chiming in today. Good stuff. And as soon as hit the break, I'm going to take you the rest of the way home. So have no fear, Lord Spirit Life. I'll be back in the chair tomorrow to do it all over again. And we'll be live from Duncan Carmichael. So if everybody who chimed in, good stuff. And be good, Bahamas. And if you can't be good at it. And we'll see you tomorrow.
Christmas is coming, and your fingers are tingling for the KFC flavors that bring us together this holiday season. Enjoy a festive feast mega meal, packed of 8 pieces of juicy fried chicken, family fries, 4 buttery biscuits, and a half gallon of Pepsi in a reusable bag. Available for a limited time, these reusable drink bags are perfect for your get-together. Have a finger-licking good Christmas with KFC.
I used to think of the personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem. Just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at
George Shoes and Accessories is your one-stop shop for all your footwear needs.
Whatever the occasion, John's is confident you will find what you're looking for. Growing collection of amazing and trendy styles. We cover women, men, children, the whole family. Together with John's great prices and helpful and friendly customer service, your experience in shopping with us will be time well spent. Too busy to come in store? Shop with us online. www.johnshoes.com. John's also now carries small home appliances. So come on in today at John's, where we put fashion at your feet.
Burger King wants you to ride into the holidays in style with a brand new 2022 BYD Han all-electric car sales. It's as easy as 1, 2, 3. Just upgrade your favorite combo for one ticket or double your chances with a King combo or triple your chance to win with the purchase of a BK family deal. It's electric at Burger King this holiday. Win a 2022 BYD Han EV sedan when you upgrade your combo at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
When I had got prostate cancer, my family didn't know if I was going to live at Cancer Treatment Centers of America. Within days, I got an appointment. They presented me with treatment options, and they set up a robotic prostatectomy. When my scans came back, there are no signs of cancer. See the number, they see you as a part of family. I'm going on with my life. It's a real gift.
Call us at Cancer Treatment Centers of America.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk.
Tonight, the Rams are hosting a game, and they're in a different spot, even though same geographical space. The Los Angeles Rams are currently 15th in the NFC, 1-5. The only team that is below them that would actually pick higher than them in a draft in which they don't have a draft choice, is the Chicago Bears at 3-10. The Rams are 3-9. And the reasons for it are numerous. Aaron Donald's not playing tonight. He's ruled out tonight. Cooper Kupp is recovering from ankle surgery. Again, he's out with a spinal cord contusion. The quarterback for the team tonight may be the backup, who's been there for a couple of years, John Wolford. Or it could be the starting quarterback, could be Baker Mayfield, in just the late generating machine called the National Football League, where you can't make stuff up. Number 17 in your program, number 1 in the potential depth chart. Baker Mayfield going tonight against a Raiders team that started in a loss to the Los Angeles Chargers. Many losses for the Raiders this year, 7 of them, in which you can point to the game and say, boy, they had that one. Boy, if they only made this play. Boy, if they only made that play. And you could say that about a lot of teams in the National Football League. For the Las Vegas Raiders, though, you could absolutely say that for their first nine games this year. Last three, pretty darn good because they've won them all. They have won them all. At least for them last week, they didn't wait to the last second. They actually got it done before it. There was no walk-off win yesterday. Their previous two wins in this three-game win streak were last-second walk-off wins, and the Raiders are now 5-7. They're now 5-7 despite blowing games left and right in which they led by double digits. They're 5-7, and they're just one game behind the team that they're playing next, the Patriots. They're just one game against the team that they just beat and split their season series with, the Chargers. And there are 4 5-7 teams that take the field in week 14 with more than just the dumb and dumber chance of we've got, you're saying there's a chance. There's different grades of it, but the Raiders are at the top of that list because they're 5-7 on a three-game win streak. They're 5-7 with a bullet. And you take a look at their schedule tonight against the Rams and in SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles, where they will have a home field advantage. Any Rams fans who are still sticking with the team and showing up and showing their Ramily spirit, I tip my cap to you. We need more of you folks here in Los Angeles, quite frankly, diehard, live or die sports fans for teams that are just new to the area, and they may be new to the area themselves. But Baker Mayfield, if he starts tonight, hey, Baker, guess what? You're going to have to go silent snap count in your first home start for the Rams because the Raiders fans are going to show up here and they're going to be losing their minds because if they win this game tonight, and it does appear that they should, quite frankly, then they take on the Patriots next week for the right to not only get to 500 but potentially leapfrog the Patriots in the standings at that point. Because even if the Patriots win this game on Monday night against the Arizona Cardinals, we're scheduled to have Buda Baker on the show tomorrow to discuss it. A Raiders win against the Patriots would have a tie break for them in the back pocket. They'd have the same 7-7 record. The Raiders would be above the Patriots. And they're in the mix. They are in the mix. The Jets with Mike White are taking on the Buffalo Bills. They have supposedly winnable games the next couple weeks, but I'll tell you why one of them doesn't appear to be as winnable anymore in a second. They can make the 7th seed from 5-7 right now, the Raiders. And then the other team that's on a nice winning streak right now at 5-7 are the Pittsburgh Steelers. Joke all you want, folks. But this Kenny Pickett has got it. You can't say Pickett without it, right? Different spelling. But I like what I'm seeing out of him. And what you're seeing, if Deontay Johnson can only catch the football. And, you know, I'm serious. I don't mean to nitpick here, but
a lot of guys have the drops.
I mean, defensively, they're getting healthier. And T.J. Watt is out there. And the Steelers just came up with big wins on a Monday night in Indianapolis. And they just beat the Atlanta Falcons, who are making a change at quarterback, by the way. And then now they're home against the Baltimore Ravens. You throw those records out usually when this happens. Tyler Huntley, who is very good as a backup quarterback, he's coming in. And this is a winnable game for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Mm-hmm. And if they win this one, then they go to Carolina next. Now, I know you can't circle Carolina at home in the Steve Wilks administration. They've actually won their games there. True. But those are two games. And by the way, if they win these two games and get to 500, and the scenario I just painted for the Raiders, and they get to 500. Guess who play each other on Christmas Eve, by the way, on NFL Network for the anniversary, 50th celebration of the Immaculate Reception game. I'll be calling that game at my NFL Game Day compadre group. It's possible both teams are 7-7, and the winner of that game goes to 8-7 with a real shot to make the playoffs. Steelers are at Baltimore and then home for Cleveland after that. Cleveland's got a shot. They do. Holy elf on a 50-yard line, Batman, just in time for the Christmas. Elf on the 50.
I thought you were going to be like, holy elf on Jay Felly's.
Yeah.
But
hindquarters.
No.
Oh.
We're leaving him and his ink out.
Well, let's wait till hour three when he's here.
A football conversation, sir. Although with Deshaun Watson, it's always more than a football conversation.
Indeed.
Back after a 700-day absence, the as I said on NFL Game Day morning, the rusty in his life for the previous 700 days was Harden, the defense lawyer who is still working hard because there's still two cases outstanding. And the whole thing with Watson saying that I can't talk about it because it's a problem legally. And then all the stories came out from the NFL information group that his clinical help is telling him not to talk about it. So which one is it? Is it the legal? Is it the clinical? I'd love to know at some point. But he sure did look rusty, not Harden, out there against Houston. But a win's a win. The defense was all over Kyle Allen. And this week they take on Joe Burrow. Make sense. Joe Burrow's never lost to the Chiefs, and he's never beaten the Browns. He's yet to beat the Browns. So you see Burrow was asked this week saying, you know, what is it about, what's different about the Browns? And his answer was, the Browns have Myles Garrett. No one else has him.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.